but just to know that you're there with us means so much. And so might not get the opportunity to say it with as large a gathering as this, but thank you. We love you, and we know that you love us. Well, I want to share a message with you briefly, but today is September 30th. So October 12th, just a short time from now, myself and 12 other Americans will get on airplanes and we'll go over to that great land of Romania. Perhaps you've heard of it, in the Eastern European bloc area, former East Soviet bloc location. But we're going over there again, and the opportunity is there to serve the Lord as we've done for on many, many trips. And it's a great joy to get to do that. And I'm so thankful for the vision of our former director, Ted Bashford, that led us there some 12 years ago. But the reason I bring that up is that event, along with the occasion today, as well as the ongoing ministry, just gives me food for thought to think about, okay, missions, and how might I encourage you in this endeavor, missions, short-term missions, extended missions, career missions, all the kinds of things. If you've been paying attention the last several months in the services of this church, the missionary endeavor is as broad as anything, from the going overseas to staying. There was a presentation a couple of weeks ago of a mission endeavor right here in the States, and I said to one of the young people afterwards, I said, You couldn't go to a more diverse and different place and still remain within the continental U.S. Borders here. The ministry that Mr. Olson's going to do there in Arizona, and just if you've watched that and you've seen that, you've probably gotten a sense of the spirit of the missionary. And I hope that you'll get it again or receive more of it this morning. Well, one of the things I get to do at the Union Mission is I get to meet a lot of people. As you may have gathered already, I'm a talker, okay? When I go home at night, my daughter will say, "Dad, what'd you do today?" And I said, "Well, I talked. I did that, okay?" And then she said, "Well, what'd you do after that?" I said, "Well, we had a meeting." She said, "What'd you do in the meeting?" "Well, we talked more in the meeting." And then I go on and say, "Well, then it was lunchtime and I was hungry, so I had to take lunch." "Well, what'd you do after that?" "Well, I talked some more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more." And it just is something that God has given me as part of the task, is to meet people, to talk to them. And this is part of the great privilege of ours to serve the Lord. Well, another privilege is this, is I get to serve the Lord with my wife, Jill. And she's right in there with me, and we're there together. And we were married 19 years this past September 11th. And we've been serving in the ministry together there for all that time. And so what's neat is this, is that she will often observe something over here, and I'll observe something over here, and then we'll get together, and the sharing of that you do in marriage will provide a more comprehensive approach or look at what we just saw. And that really has spoken to me and several other things, so that it leads me to this. I want to share with you for a few moments what missions really looks like, at least as we've seen it through Union Mission's eyes, through this trip to Romania, through others that have impacted my life, what we're doing. This past summer and early fall have been a tremendous time of ministry. It's been busy. We used to say in our ministry that we had peaks and valleys. You know, we'd say to people that were new on our staff, "Okay, now here's a busy period, but then after a busy period, it's not so busy." And we did that, but now we're just busy all the time. And now there's just one thing after the next that we do. But I want you to consider with me this morning, and again, something that I believe if some of the others of our staff are here, they'd share with you. And this thought about missions and about what is really happening. And again, it could be expressed differently by different missionaries with their perspectives. But here's something I want to share with you, and then we'll go to the passage that I want to read to you this morning. It's this. Missions is exalting the work of God in the hearts of people. Or lifting up, acknowledging where we see God work in people's hearts. That's broad and that's general, I understand. But I want to narrow that and describe that in the moments that we have. What we've experienced at the Union Mission and Hope Haven and all the different places, at least that I've been a part of, is we've been able to see for a long stretch of time now the work of God as it's worked out in the hearts of people. And I'll describe that in a little more detail in just a moment. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 92. And this psalm, and there are others, several others that could serve the purpose this morning, but Psalm 92, and I just want to read the first five verses there with a special focus on verses 4 and 5. But Psalm 92 begins, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound." Look at verses 4 and 5. "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep." And I'd like to break the passage of reading off there. And especially these verses. "Lord, you've made me glad through the works of your hands. I will triumph," it says here, "in the works of your hands." Again, a working definition for us this morning is what we are blessed by in the work of God is seeing, praising the work of God in the hearts of people. It leads me to this question, and that is this. Okay, where have we seen God at work? Where do we observe that that's a work of God, and there's something only the Holy Spirit can do, and here's something that is conforming to the Scriptures and to the image of Christ? Where do we see the work of God? And for me, as I think about that, I could go in many directions, but let me just share three. Where have we seen the work of God most clearly in our ministry and other places about us? Well, we've seen it in the location of the heart. We've seen it specifically in the work of salvation, something that has been highlighted already this morning. We get to see at the Union Mission the opportunity to present the gospel, to proclaim the good news at a moment in which people's lives are very low and they're very discouraged and they're without hope. The gospel perfectly fits and forms to the need of every sinner, homeless or not. Every person is in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And it's been a joy to take all the collective efforts, the Camp Hope Haven Ministry, Children's Outreach, the Romania Project, we call it, Union Mission with the men and the women and the families, and all the different places that we get to go, and just to know that this is our message. This is our calling card, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. About a week ago, one of the local pastors whose church faithfully comes and holds a service they do the third Monday night. And so they were there. And the next day he calls me. He says, "John, I just want you to know that we were there and they love the men. And I want to tell you about a man that I met. He had been in your shelter 3 days. And the night that we were there, he responded to the invitation. He came forward and we broke up in prayer together one-on-one with the men." And he said, "You know, he had only been there 3 days. He seemed to be an open book. He seemed to be a blank slate. And we were able to write upon his heart the truths of God's word. And after a lengthy time, he was ready. He saw his need to give his heart to Christ and become saved." And that is just an exciting thing for us. It's what our desire is. It's all that we work for to see that. Later on, he told me that on another occasion, it seemed that the men were prepared that night to hear the gospel, sowing seeds that had already been done before. And so the gospel, that's where we see the work of God in others so clearly. And you can recall that in your own life, and you can think, well, praise the Lord for that. I asked someone, I said, "Okay, so tell me what you see so often." This would be staff of the Union Mission. "What do you see so often when someone gives their life to Christ at the mission and then stays with us for a while?" And this person remarked that they saw a sense of gratefulness. "What I often see is a sense of peace. Men that come to the mission with all of these particular things, and when they come to know Christ and they lift that burden over and give it over to Christ and receive His forgiveness, there's a tremendous sense of peace." I was standing right next to a guy just this past Sunday, and I was talking with him about some matter. I mean, we're eyeball to eyeball. We can look. And I've watched that man over the last several months. He's made his spiritual journey, and I just observed a peace that we're promised through the work of God and salvation. And that has been, and that continues to be, a great blessing in all the different places that God sends us. But that's one of the true works, primary works of God is bringing people to Christ, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity. But here's another one. I'll give it to you. And that, this one is in a different category altogether. Where I've seen and where we've been caused to praise the work of God in the hearts of others is in this business of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Now, I could tell you stories. The mission is an unusual ministry. You don't just put a union mission anywhere you would like. I understand that. And for about 30 years, the mission was waiting to be finally placed where we would be as little problem as possible. But waiting on the Lord, I just wonder this morning, how many of you have something or a number of things that you're just waiting on the Lord? You're waiting for direction. You're waiting for some information. You're waiting on an answer from God or a movement in the hearts of others on your behalf, on something that you're praying about. We're waiting and waiting. How is it that waiting becomes the work of God? Well, I want to read a little devotional from Andrew Murray, just a few lines here from his book, Waiting on God. He says, "Waiting on God has its value in this. It makes us strong in work for God. Our waiting on God secures the working of God for us and in us, out of which our work must spring. As waiting on God lies at the root of all true working for God, so working for God must be the fruit of all true waiting on Him." They cannot be divided. The work of God will call us to wait on God. Waiting on God for us has meant continuing to serve, continuing to respond to the needs of some 300 men, women, and children who come to us each day at the Union Mission. But this waiting is not just a waiting in a room with reading outdated magazines or some other kind of idle activity. No, we're waiting on the Lord, but as we're waiting, we're really seeing the Lord work. I could tell you of so many accounts of our waiting in this particular area resulted in this, that perhaps if we hadn't waited, well, it wouldn't have happened that way. Well, that's one of the clearest things I see, and as we're still waiting on things to happen and these events to take place in our lives, all the while we can see the work of God beautifully and gloriously displayed in our lives, and I hope that you can as well. Well, there's another area, and I'll just give it a brief mention, and seems like it has to be mentioned oftentimes in missionary endeavors, and that is I see God at work in providing for financial needs. It's obvious that where our country is struggling, and financially we've been in a difficult time, and how long we've been in it and how long we'll be in it, who knows? But it's exciting to see the work of God, exalting and lifting up the work of God in how He provides for the needs of our ministry. I can tell you this, we pray steadily and faithfully for one particular thing because we believe that's what we need to happen in order for all these other things to happen. But as we've done it, all the while, God has just been providing. All through the summer and the early fall, it's been incredible to see the significant sums and provisions of God while we were over here waiting and working and praying for a particular thing. God was just providing in these different areas and different places. And that, I think, is still a part of God working. And so that's become so much a part of the air we breathe, that as we do missions in the way that we do it, and as we observe God's work, we're just saying, Lord, you know, what are you doing? And Lord, what can we praise of what you've done? Now, that's where we've seen the Lord work. And of course, there are lots of other places that we could identify the growth and the victory over sin and the other things that we see at work. And you have seen it work in the hearts of other people that excite you and cause you to praise the Lord. But the psalm says in Psalm 92 at verse 4, there's two things here that I want to point out. It says, he writes, "You, Lord, have made me glad." And the gladness has come through this work of the Lord, something that we're talking about this morning, something that we're careful to observe, not just doing the work or getting from one activity to the next, but we're careful. Have you ever tried to watch yourself do something? Well, that seems kind of awkward, doesn't it? It would seem strange to do that. It would seem unnecessary. But as we do God's work, there really is a sense where we should be watching as the Lord does these things in our behalf, and as He does it on behalf of others. He says, Lord, you've made me glad through your work. And then he says, I will triumph in the works of your hands. the Lord and his salvation are without a doubt the most dominant reasons or predominant reasons for joy that the psalmist writes of and indeed is in the Bible. There are certainly other sources of joy, but most often it is the Lord and his salvation that the biblical writers write about when they express the joy of watching the Lord work. And here it's true, and in so many other places he says, Lord, you've made me to rejoice in the works of your hands. And we are called to that and to share that. I'm always reminded, I'll say this quickly, I'm always reminded at the Union Mission that when great acts of God happen there at the mission, and they do, all kinds of things, maybe you would find them as exciting as some of us do, but we have a low threshold for excitement here at the Union Mission. It's just the way we are. We look for every place that we can see God at work. But when those things are done amongst our staff and some of the other people, there's a host of unsaved men and women and families who not only see it, but get the benefit of it. Then we have to just say to them, well, what do you think about that? Is this not the Lord at work? And so it becomes a continual testimony, a continual witness. And we just thank the Lord for that. And so he writes and says, Lord, I've been led to rejoice because of what you've done, and it's because of the Lord and his salvation and all these particular ways in which we see him work. It's been an exciting time of late. And I feel like my own life is going through a transformation as we're working on some things and doing some things in anticipation of the future. But it is still this thing, watching the Lord work, observing that that is a work of God in that person's heart or in this particular place, and then being led to praise the Lord. I just wonder if you've had cause, and I'm sure many of you have lately, to sit down and think through maybe a period of time recently, or maybe an event recently, and were you led to just think about all the different ways, the wave upon wave of God not only answering that prayer, but in the way that he did it, and rejoicing as you saw the work of God carried out in the life of someone else. We work with men and women. I work primarily with the men who come and with all of these issues and things that face them. And they're troubled, and they're confused, and they're concerned, and they often don't want to be there. And yet, through all of that, we can still see, and we can say, but you know, we watch as the Lord moves into their lives. And the Union Mission is a unique setting for doing ministry. And we watch as he pushes out into different areas and places of their lives so that men begin to make all kinds of decisions that they would never make if they didn't have the Lord, if the Lord wasn't in their lives and he wasn't the Savior of their lives. Well, that is just so much of what we've seen the Lord do. But really, for a time here, I want to focus on, okay, well, how do we get involved in that? What are the ways that we engage in the work of the Lord in this way? I don't mean simply going out and doing the work. We have so many people that are willing to help us and do things for us, and we're very grateful for that. But this morning, I'm calling you to this thought about missions, lifting up the work of God, lifting up the one who has done it as we see it in the lives of others. How do we get involved in that? What are some of the ways that we engage? When God calls us his fellow workers, we are co-laborers together with him. We're called to be steadfast, unmovable, and always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. How do we get to that point in our lives, where, regardless of where we are, Romania, Union Mission, neighborhoods, some other place, how do we get to that point when we're really rejoicing and exalting in the work of the Lord in the lives of others? I think that obviously turns us away from ourselves, and the spotlight becomes others, and we can become others-oriented. But what does it really mean to go and do this and see this as a great privilege to serve the Lord and to serve others? Well, I have a few thoughts I want to give you, and sort of a confession would be one thing in this, and that is we often overlook the work of God in others when we lose focus on what God is truly doing. You know, it can happen, and men, it can happen to us. We're in there, we're busy, we're doing the things that we think matter most, and the work of God as I've described it, or is another way that you would describe it, gets sort of overlooked when we don't focus on the God who is doing this work. And so I just caution us there with that. But I do want to share some thoughts with you, and I want you just to, maybe you'd make these points of application, consider them as I've thought through and considered. Okay, Lord, we're exalting the work of you in the lives of others. How might we participate more fully, get engaged in that? Well, here's a couple of things. Number one, I see this, and this is throughout God's Word, but God is continually at work in us and through us. Philippians 2:13 from the NIV, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." I mean, this God of ours is continually in activity on our behalf for us to see. It would never be a matter of very little material to see. It would only be a matter of our unwillingness or inability to see God working on so many levels across the span of so many, in so many different places and time. God is continually at work, even when we're not aware of it. And I think that would be important for us to consider and remember. Here's another thing. From Psalm 92, 4 and 5, we get this, but God is pleased when we praise the work of His hands in the lives of others. There is a mutual benefit to acknowledging, I see the Lord at work in your life, and I'm grateful for it, for the one you've expressed it to, and the one that, and yourself as well. God is pleased when we praise His work in others. The third thing I thought about is this, and I said, you know, if I go through this and follow this through and give it some thought and meditation, here's something to consider. When I really desire, that is, when I prize and value the work of God, and we have songs that say we will praise the work of your hands. We have verses from the Bible. We have examples around us that we're to prize and value the work of God. Well, when I prize and value the work of God in others, I will not find it as difficult, I didn't say easy, but as difficult to pray for that one and to get involved in that person's life. When I really see God at work and I really value that for them and for me, not so difficult as perhaps it would be in other cases to pray for that and to get involved in that. And I think of so many wonderful ways in which we have what we call mentors at the Union Mission. And these are godly men. Some of them work in shipyards. Some of them are accountants. Some of them are on the road salesmen. And godly men who come and invest in the lives of the men that are in our long-term programs, being mentors, being disciplers of those men. And I think, you know, so many of our men have never known a significantly spiritual relationship with another man. And I thought, Lord, how great and how wonderful that is. But they've bought into, I want to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of others, and I want to lift that up for His glory and honor. Well, when you prize and value the work of God in others, you will find yourself more and more engaged in the kinds of activities and prayer and going alongside of them. You'll find it because that's where you see God working. That's what you want to be a part of. And then I just think about this last thing, and it's a practical thing, but someone reminded me of it, and I thought, you know, Lord, this ought to be included. And that is this: when we hear God prompting us in any way concerning the work of God, I remember some time ago there was a missionary here, and this missionary was going to a particularly difficult area, and the question was asked, well, why did you go, or why are you going? And the person, it didn't have chapter and verse, it didn't even have a strongly theological response. The person just said, God said go. And so this incredibly difficult act of obedience, going across the world and going to all these things and all the changes was based upon, now I'm sure there was much prayer and consideration, but was based upon one thing: God told me to. God told me to do this. And I would say to each of us, listen to the promptings of God, consider them and do it. He put all of these together, and I think that what we'll have is just a rich and rewarding life of service. I don't know how to express this exactly for the Union Mission, and again, we have some folks here that are a part of it, but we are just a greatly blessed ministry, and all the ways that can be that can be described. I feel as if, and Jill and I feel as if God has placed us in a special place for a special time, and we are very, very thankful for that. But you know, folks, in the days ahead, whatever it is that God has called us to do, and I can tell you, when I get on a plane and go to Romania, and I go this time, I'm going to be thinking, okay, Lord, where can I exalt the work of God in others? How do I see God at work in my dear Romanian brothers and sisters' lives, or those that were trying to win the Christ? And maybe you would take this along with these applications, and you would go about some particular place of ministry that God has called you to and say, okay, Lord, where might I see that? How might I exalt that? And then, Lord, how would you call me to join in that endeavor? And I hope that today and later on this afternoon are just going to be, it's going to be a time given over completely to this thought. Because, folks, it is a great privilege to serve the Lord wherever you might be sent to go. It is a great honor to carry the banner of Christ, to be an ambassador for Him, and go into all of these different places. And to think that while we're doing it, and all the things we might be concerned about, the greatest concern could be this: Lord, where have I seen you work? And how have I lifted up and praised you in that work on behalf of someone else? Well, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the time that you've given. And Lord, I just want to be an encouragement. I want to stir the hearts of all of us, Lord, to this great work that you've called us to. And Lord, it takes many different forms, has many different expressions, but Lord, it's all your work. And Lord, honestly, where have we seen the work of God accomplished in others and been led to praise it, to exalt it for your glory and honor? Lord, let that just remain and just dwell in our hearts through today and through all that we experience. But we thank you, Lord. You're a good God and a good Savior, and you love us. And Lord, we could never love you enough. We could never serve you enough. But Lord, we desire, as best we know, to love you and serve you. And Lord, to be a blessing to those that you called us to. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.